Haga que se examinen los ojos antes de regresar a la escuela.
Un mensaje de servicio público de la Asociación Americana de Optometría sobre los niños y el aprendizaje.
Earthworms are invading. Sound like science fiction? Creepy crawlies are moving into northern forests and affecting nutrient retention in soil. We'll dig deeper on today's Environ Minute. Peter Grothman of the Institute of Ecosystem Studies says North America is colonized by invasive worm species that bring profound change to the soil.
Now, if earthworms come into a site like that, in 2 to 5 years, the forest floor just disappears. You don't have that thick organic carpet.
The worms can also affect biodiversity and a forest's ability to take carbon out of the atmosphere and store it in the soil. However, Grothman says you can help curb the invasive marauders.
I would encourage people to be more careful with earthworms and other invasive species and to be alert for changes in the forest. Early detection is really key to environmental problems.
The Environ Minute is made possible by the Heinz Family Philanthropies and the Heinz Endowment. Learn more by visiting environminute.com.
Hola, hola, yes. Hola, mi amoeba. Check yourself. Make sure you're not an invasive species. Yeah, do your part. This is WUSB 90.1 on the frequency modulation band, also streaming at WUSB.FM. I have had lots of coffee today. It is 6:03. That means it's time for Off the Wall.
right up, kids. Step right up. It's the tackiest, it's the wackiest, it's the Trump-nastiest spectacular you'll ever see.
Wrong show?
Is that so?
I can't hear myself.
Yeah, it's the usual problem.
Here, let me turn it up. Okay, there we go.
Is that better?
Hey, everybody, this is Kyle.
How much coffee did you have today? Really?
I had a lot of coffee.
Been bouncing off the walls.
I had enough. But this is Off the Wall. I'm Kyle.
Manuel over here.
By Emmanuel, right there, right
yeah,
there.
Over here.
Right there.
A lot going on. A lot happening.
Yes.
I've just been handed a bulletin, actually. Well, not a bulletin so much as an alert.
Okay, an alert.
Well, not an alert so much as a memorandum. Just something that we should be aware of, that all people on Long Island should be aware of, because it's important. And Newsday saw fit to print this in a place of prominence so people would know.
Do you need an alert tone? I think I have enough energy for that.
No, I've heard enough of those this week.
Okay.
But this is an important story, and I would hasten to caution people, yes, to stop what they're doing and listen, all right, because you might be able to help. And you can't help if you're doing the dishes or feeding a kid or driving or putting out a fire or whatever it is you're doing at this hour other than devoting full attention to the radio.
And WUSB radio, to be specific.
Is there any other?
Well, goes without saying.
Please,
everyone, your undivided attention for this message from Off the Wall.
Well, it's actually from Newsday. I'm reading verbatim from Newsday because, like I said, it's an important message. We probably should have read it by now.
Via Off the Wall.
Here we go. NASA and MTA police rushed to Merrick yesterday after a report of a Middle Eastern-looking man who parked under a Long Island Railroad trestle and was taking photos of it. An MTA officer arrived with a bomb-sniffing dog, and after a full examination of the man's car, they did not find any evidence of explosives or contraband. That's according to Salvatore Arena, a spokesman for the Metropolitan Transportation Authority. No trains, I repeat, no trains were affected. One more time, no trains were affected. The call about the man came at about 4 p.m., on a day that an Afghanistan-born U.S. citizen, Ahmad Khan Rahami of New Jersey, was wounded. I said no trains were affected. Is that not clear? Because I see people walking around thinking that trains were affected. They were not. No trains. We're cool? Okay. All right. Ahmad Khan Rahami of New Jersey was wounded and arrested in a gun battle with police after he shot two officers. The FBI in New Jersey and New York suspect Rahami planted several bombs in the area, including one that exploded in Chelsea on Saturday, injuring 29 people. The caller said the man parked his car on Brooklyn Avenue at the trestle, just west of the Merrick Station, and spent several minutes photographing the trestle, according to Salvatore Arena, spokesman for the MTA. He then left, walking east on Sunrise Highway, and that's when the witness called the police. NASA police arrived, called MTA police, and impounded the car after it was examined at the scene, according to Salvatore Arena, spokesman for the Metropolitan Transportation Authority. Details... I like that name. It's a good name.
Yeah.
Salvatore Arena. I want to see how he signs it, too. I think it's probably really grandiose.
Yes.
A name like that, you don't want to waste it.
It's got a very wide perimeter of the whole thing.
Take all the space you need.
Yep.
Details on the driver's identity and his whereabouts were not clear Monday night, he said. Salvatore Arena said that. A NASA police spokesman said a vehicle with mechanical problems had its hood up under the trestle about 3:20 p.m. and was later towed. The spokesman said This was not a suspicious incident, but it was not clear if this was the same incident that prompted a response with the MTA bomb-sniffing dog. So, the bomb-sniffing dog only appears when there is a suspicious occurrence. And the bomb-sniffing dog did not respond to the car with its hood up under the trestle at about 3:20 p.m. It responded to the Middle Eastern-looking man at about 4 p.m., who was taking pictures of a trestle and walked away from what might be the same car that was broken. We live in a day and age where such dangers as Middle Eastern men taking pictures of trestles is something that we just have to deal with, that we just have to accept as part of the risk of being free, being American. But I got to tell you, Kyle, this scared me. This scared the crap out of me. To think that there may be more Middle Eastern men out there with cameras who see bridges and trestles and are capturing their images for their own use. You don't see this on CNN. What the hell? You know, the Clinton News Network does not cover news like this. Uh-uh. No, it's not in their agenda.
It's a disturbing turn of events. Also.
It's a very disturbing turn of events. Thank you for acknowledging that, because only Salvatore Arena seems to understand it.
It's what we're all thinking, I'm sure. Boy.
So there you go.
That's a lot.
It's a news day alert that a Middle Eastern man was taking pictures of a train trestle. The only times I've taken pictures of train trestles, true, I've lost my Middle Eastern looks, but I still can get an alert going, you know, with my actions and what I do. Taking a picture of it, I mean, okay, so you need to take a picture of a train trestle in order to blow it up. You can't just blow it up. You have to take a picture first, you know. Somebody up there planting things, that might be something suspicious. I've walked across train trestles in my time. Didn't really seem to concern anybody. But this, wow. The mystery of the Middle Eastern man in Merrick who parked his car and took a picture.
We'll have updates on that in the future for everyone out there. Be vigilant. There are many trains and trestles in your area. So,
do you really think it's limited to trains and trestles, Kyle? Do you really believe that? Do you think that shopping malls and intersections and traffic lights are immune?
Well, those are secondary targets, but we all know that softer targets like those aren't nearly as threatening and dangerous as the prospect of a trestle.
That's right. Soft targets like cushions and lounge chairs, you blow those up, they hurt just as much, okay? So, yeah, be suspicious there too, folks, because that's exactly what they want you not to be able to do. Yeah. We're all on a tinderbox here. We're all nervous.
Well,
we don't know what's going to happen
next.
I'll
reassure everyone the threat level has not changed. We are still on terrified. and you know what color that is.
Yeah.
But if we have any more information, we'll certainly pass it along to you.
So bombings, wow. We had bombings in New York, and we watched it unfold.
Yes.
It's funny watching the story unfold, because they always get so much wrong, so much that obviously they shouldn't get wrong. For instance, the fact that a bomb blew up in New Jersey earlier the same day that a bomb blew up in Manhattan. And the media is saying there's no connection. Of course there's a connection. How many times do bombs blow up around here? To have two bombs blow up in one day, you know, that's one hell of a coincidence. So to quickly dismiss it and say, no, there's no connection. And why? Because they were different types? Well, you know, variety is a spice of life, and maybe you want to try out different types to see what works. And in this poor guy's case, man, nothing seemed to work. He must be the most frustrated bomber out there because he planted bombs at a race for, what, ex-Marines, and he had a time to go off just when they were going by, but then they had some kind of registration problem, and they were late, so the bomb blew up before they got there, so nobody was injured. Then the one on 23rd Street blew up, and, yeah, people were injured there, but nobody was killed. They were all minor injuries. Then the one he left for some reason on 27th Street was found by a bunch of people who liked the luggage that he left it in, stole the bag, left the pressure cooker on the street where this nice old lady found it and told the cops, and of course they were able to get rid of it before it even blew up. And then five more bombs in New Jersey in a dumpster where more people decided to steal the knapsack that it was in and found the bombs, told the cops, and they were taken away, not the people, the bombs, without anybody getting hurt. So it's pretty incredible. New Yorkers, just when they see something of value, they take it, and in so doing, they might notice something, and if they notice something, they say something, and that's how it's supposed to work.
Watch out for your luggage. I think that's the lesson we're learning from this, is how important it is to be vigilant, because people are desperate for things to carry stuff in.
Yeah, well, good luggage is something that you don't turn down. It's lying on the street.
Yeah.
And you can't blame the people. You know, a knapsack in a dumpster.
They saw something.
Yeah, and they took it, and then
they
said something.
They probably said something to people, you know, hey, look what I got.
Actually, the guys that took the luggage on 27th Street, they didn't say anything. They just took the luggage, and they left the pressure cooker right there on the street. But the lady found it. Because, you know, here's a pressure cooker and it's got a cell phone attached to it and wires. Now, I was wondering, who leaves that right there on a street for people to find? And the bomber didn't do that. He left it in luggage, but then somebody outsmarted him by taking the luggage and somehow not blowing up the bomb. I guess it was on a timer or the cell phone was going to activate it or something.
Nothing stands still in New York. I mean, really.
Oh, I mean, you know, I feel bad for the people that got injured, but wow, you couldn't, even the bomber himself didn't really get hurt that bad. He got shot by the cops, and he was shooting at them.
Yeah, he had a hole right in his rear.
Yeah, yeah, it was, could have been so much worse. But this guy, you know, not exactly the most polished terrorist out there. I'm thinking, and this is just my early, you know, Columbo feelings as to what this could possibly be. He's got a grudge that's not really a political grudge. I think he might just be mad at the world in general because he got a bum rap on something, and he's just lashing out in various ways. His own family was concerned about him in the past. He basically had a violent temper, and I could see something snapping and he's just planting bombs all over the place. And, you know, yeah, he's from Afghanistan, but, you know, there are angry people from Afghanistan as well. It's got nothing to do with international terrorism, as the mayor said. I don't know. You know, that's just a theory at the moment. It could be tied. It could be tied to something else. But the thing is, we don't have to live in fear of such things happening because they can happen at any time.
Or of people, of some broad generalization, some broad stroke of people that these things are being associated with, or that groups would have you believe are associated with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just asinine. It's really stupid.
Yeah, yeah, but it's convenient. It's a good way to get elected. It's a good way to scare people into doing things they wouldn't ordinarily do.
Certainly fits in with this narrative.
But, Kyle, have you ever heard of an organization known as the FALN? Okay, yeah, I put you in a tough situation.
Yeah, that's kind
of... You hadn't heard of them, then I asked you this question a few days ago, and then you learned
okay,
about
so
them.
Can I answer, like, as if no one knew that, and be honest that, as I felt at the time, no, I'd never, ever heard of them.
But you're lying because you'd have heard
of
them.
I'm lying, but we had a preamble about that, and so everybody's clear, everybody knows.
We shouldn't talk about things before the show. It ruins everything.
Yeah, it does.
I should have just not said a word about anything.
Okay, finish.
Okay,
this is important.
It is important.
Everybody pay attention.
People listen. People going back to work, don't do that. No, listen to the radio. The FALN, I can't pronounce this, the Fuerzas Armadas de Liberación Nacional, Puerto Rican. It's an organization, the Armed Forces of National Liberation for Puerto Rico.
Just not the dessert.
No, not FLAN. You're dyslexic? No, it's F-A-L-N, not F-L-A-N.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's why I couldn't find it on Google.
Yeah. Flanbaum. Wow, that would be something. That would get people all messy and sticky. But still, wouldn't be the worst thing. They were a clandestine paramilitary organization that advocated complete independence for Puerto Rico. And they operated between 1974 and 1983. And, you know, they were responsible for more than 120 bombings on United States targets in that period. And I remember this. I remember this growing up. The FALN would plant bombs everywhere. And it was just it was something that people lived with. It wasn't even a major news item that was on the news all the time. First of all, we didn't have the news all the time. But it was a news item if something blew up. But it was just kind of like what you expected as part of being in the city or being part of the United States. People were killed. People were injured. It's not a pleasant thing. But the point is, this kind of fear that we're experiencing now, it's not something new. It's not something that's just been invented now. These things have happened in the past. And we've gotten through them. We've gotten past them. There hasn't been an FAL bombing in a long, long time. And they weren't the only ones bombing things either. Bombs were going off all over the place. Bombs aren't nice. I don't like bombs. I'm not advocating for bombings, but I'm advocating against panic and fear and listening to people that can lead us down very dark roads. All right? This is it's part of life. These kinds of things, unfortunately, are a part of life. And there are ways to get through them and ways to make things even worse.
Yeah, people's reaction definitely is, it's key to, I guess, analyze that, even for yourself. Because I think anyone who was there maybe would say, absolutely, it was a frightening situation. But everything then becoming a potential target as a response or sort of logic after the fact isn't going to serve you. It's good to be vigilant. It's good to know what to do. It's good to talk to people and to be observe, see these things and in your community and of course empathize and on. But it's also, it can be tremendously more destructive to elevate these things and not look at them specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I think even the leadership, like the mayor and governor and maybe even down to the police departments, I'm talking like NYPD, I think they were pretty much saying, there's been a lot of misreporting from the get-go because we're in this churn, in this blender of a political circus, as I alluded to when we started. But it drops right into that extreme narrative that's been so caustic.
You got to have the headline. You got to get the scoop. You got to be the first one
to say it. And tie it in. Even though you're not an investigator, it's an open investigation. You have absolutely no expertise. Mm-hmm. You're simply blending this in, throwing it into your stew of punditry.
You know, you're talking about the NYPD. It was the Commissioner O'Neill, his first day on the job.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think first day. He just started.
Got it. Yeah, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, so that was something. And NYPD did a really good job of catching us. One thing that changed since the FALN days, people get caught a lot faster because there's all these eyes on the street, but not always the eyes of the government. You see, that's the difference. NYPD did a good job here, as did the various entities, New Jersey and the feds and everybody getting together. But a lot of the credit, if not most of the credit, goes to the people of New York, because they're the ones that noticed things. They're the ones that spoke up. They're the ones that uncovered what was hidden and acted sanely and without panic or just jumping to the wrong conclusions, and without their eyes, without their reporting, Without, you know, that one lady on 27th Street, they found a fingerprint that they had of this guy from being arrested in the past, and that was a major clue right there. Another clue was a camera of him walking around with a suitcase at both locations. But these cameras, they don't have to come from the authorities. They can be store cameras. They can be all kinds of other security operations that have nothing to do with the NYPD. And if we get together and share the information that we individually pull, then we have more power as a culture to see something that's happening and be able to do something about it before it spirals out of control.
Yes, and if you don't want to get caught, keep your DNA and fingerprints to yourself.
Yeah, well, that's going to be harder and harder as the years go by. But, sometimes it works out. This guy would have been caught no matter what, though, because he doesn't seem to have been the brightest bulb in the bunch. Is sleeping in a bar vestibule.
kind of like one of those, like, malformed Skittles, not like one that's a full Skittle.
We're going to get into Skittles. You want to talk about Skittles?
Like one that's like a manufacturing error. It's not like totally round or...
Oh, okay. We'll get to Skittles in a second. I just wanted to talk about one other bomber that you might not have heard about. This guy was going to be blowing up a building. He's set to appear before a federal magistrate on Monday afternoon on charges he participated in a bomb plot trying to transport deadly explosives. This happened in Houston. The guy tried to order explosive materials online from an illegal weapons marketplace through an encrypted network that rendered his IP address undetectable and made him anonymous. But imagine that he got caught. He got caught despite all that. He got caught. He sent a private message to a vendor on this network in August saying he intended to use the materials to blow up a building. It turned out the vendor was an undercover FBI agent. And when he went to pick up the materials at his post office box, officials arrested him. And one more radical Islamic terrorist off the streets. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I misspoke. That guy's not radical Islamic terror. How would you describe him?
He looked white.
Angry white man, yeah.
He's white and complexion.
And you're not hearing a thing about this story, are you? No, you're not. Well, look up the name Kerry Lee Ogborn, and you'll find out all about this story that the media is not focusing on. But, yeah, there's white men out there blowing up buildings, too, or trying to, if they could get past all the roadblocks. Yeah, it's... let's not jump to conclusions here.
Or pass chemistry class.
Speaking of which, okay, jumping to conclusions, let's get back to the Skittles. So, Donald Trump Jr. is trying to catch up to his dad in saying stupid things.
He's trying to be the heir to that legacy of stupidity.
Well, Eric Trump's got giving a run for the money, but Donald Trump Jr., I don't know, maybe, we'll see. So he basically tweeted this graphic, he did this today, that likened Syrian refugees to Skittles. It's a picture of a bowl of Skittles, and the text says, if I had a bowl of Skittles and I told you just three would kill you, would you take a handful? That's our Syrian refugee problem. And then underneath, Trump Pence, make America great again. Donald Trump Jr. Also commented, this image says it all. Let's end the politically correct agenda that doesn't put America first. Trump 2016. Yeah. And here's the thing that's kind of funny. That's not even an original idea. He basically took word for word everything from former Illinois Representative Joe Walsh. You know, total lunatic, that guy, too. I remember him thinking he was the Eagles guitarist, and he wasn't, fortunately. He's a former Tea Party congressman from Illinois. He's now a conservative talk radio show host. And Walsh tweeted at Trump Jr., hey, Donald Trump Jr., that's the point I made last month. Glad you agree. basically busting him for taking word for word and even the same image what he said without attribution. But It goes beyond that, actually, because in the past, and this is something that the conservatives are latching onto, in the past, feminists used something rather similar in talking about, I guess...
Let me guess. Rape.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm trying to find the exact quote here. But it was M&M's. It wasn't Skittles. Yeah, here we go. You say not all men are monsters. Imagine a bowl of M&M's. 10% of them are poisoned. Go ahead, eat a handful. Not all M&M's are poison. And, yeah. Okay, so people are asking, conservatives are asking, hey, how come it's okay for feminists to do this, and nobody objected when they liken men to M&M's, but everybody's going nuts over the Skittles and the Syrian refugees? Well, okay, here's something for the conservatives out there. It's very, very different when you mock and ridicule a group of people who are dominant, who are the oppressor in many people's eyes, okay, as opposed to a bunch of helpless people who are victims and the target of hatred and prejudice and violence and God knows what else.
Yeah, their power is already subverted, and what the feminists are doing is subverting power.
It's the same reason white people can be the butt of jokes,
right,
that focus on race, because we're dominant. We run the damn world, okay? And we've got way too much power. We should be able to take a couple of jokes. But when you turn around and say, oh, that means I can make fun of this minority over here, it's not the same thing, because you're in that position of dominance and privilege, and you're talking down to people from that position. It's amazing to me that people really don't get that, or that they pretend they don't get that, so they can continue to put out outrageous things like this, like Donald Trump Jr.'s Skittles remark, or Joe Walsh's, or whoever.
They can't see that it's not something you can equate.
No, it's you know, it's funny in one case and offensive in another. All right, and you either see that or you don't. You know, I'm not offended by being compared to a bowl of M&M's, 10% of which are poison. Okay, you know, it's a valid point. It might wake some people up. But to turn that around and say horrible things about refugees who are experiencing true hell, you have to wonder the motivations of the people. Well, I don't have to wonder for very long what the motivations are of these people out there. It scares me to see the progress. And do you realize in less than a week, the first debate is going to be happening right here on Long Island?
When you say it like that, man, it's fast approaching. Yeah.
Oh,
and,
like a freight train.
Okay.
Yeah, and
right.
The next show we do, we'll be talking about whether or not Hillary Clinton has completely decimated him, or whether we really have to start looking at travel arrangements for some other countries.
She'll be mopping him up the floors with him.
I called Jill Stein an idiot yesterday, and you know, I'll tell you why. I don't think she heard me, but I said it on Twitter. And the reason I said it was because I saw a story where she said some idiotic things. Now, I'm not talking about the Wi-Fi is dangerous comments. That's idiotic on a different level. That was just funny. I like that. No, this was her saying that Hillary Clinton is more dangerous than Donald Trump. Hillary Clinton is more dangerous. I've heard people on the left saying this.
Roll that back. Wait.
I can't talk backwards, but I'll start again. She said Hillary Clinton is more dangerous than Donald J. Trump. Yeah.
Who is it? Wait.
Jill Stein, the Green
the
Party.
Doctor?
The doctor. Dr. The, Jill Stein.
The doctor.
Yeah. And she ain't no Doctor Who, I'll tell you that, because that's a meat-headed remark. It really is. And I've seen people, we've heard people on the other station saying this, leftists, who are so angry at other people left of center, and Hillary Clinton is left of center. She may be only an inch left of center, but she is left of center. You know, yeah. And you see this all the time on the left, where they fight the left instead of fighting the right. You know, they basically, they want the perfect candidate before they will ever say something to fight against the arch conservatives. So you have a bunch of people going around saying that Hillary Clinton is more dangerous and more of a warmonger than Donald Trump. Donald Trump hasn't started any wars. Give him a chance. All right, you put him in the Oval Office, there'll be a war by the end of the day. I'm sure of it. You know, to put somebody in power whose policies you may not agree with, who you might even consider to be a hawk, is still far better than putting somebody in there who is completely incompetent and unhinged and will basically nuke anybody that he doesn't like and has said things like that in the past. So, you're going to have to put aside these differences and realize that it's bigger than that. By saying Hillary Clinton is more dangerous than Donald Trump, you're also saying Barack Obama is more dangerous than Donald Trump, because Hillary Clinton was carrying out Barack Obama's orders. She was working for him when she was Secretary of State. So is that something you really believe? Do you really? I mean, if you do, okay, fine. But, you know, you're not a liberal. You're not part of the left if you say that. You really are not. And you're opening the door for something that could really be the end of a lot of things. And I don't just mean the unraveling of the entire country and probably more. I mean, a lot of the progress that has been made, progress with health care, progress with equal rights, progress, you know, not enough progress. I'm the first to say that. I wish it were a lot more. And most of the reason why it's not a lot more is because of the conservative camp that you, by saying such idiotic things, are giving more power to, far more power than they've ever had before.
Economic progress? I mean, as far as employment and the kinds of new economies and ventures that are being supported these days?
Yeah.
The innovative side and others?
There's been progress. There's definitely been progress. And I wish there was so much more, but you get more progress by taking steps, not by jumping all the way back and starting all over again. Because the person that is in power isn't perfect, or the person that is running isn't perfect. That's why I called her an idiot, because that is idiotic, and I am going to be so mad at Democrats and the left in this country if they're complacent. You heard what Obama said last week about he'll take it as a personal insult if the black community does not step up.
Yeah. Well, you know what's really interesting about this, too, is that the premise that the current administration and the Democrats are completely satisfied and feel as though they're perfect and flawless and nothing possibly could have gone better.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, I think Obama would be the first person to say, you know, there's a lot we could do better. As you said yourself, and I feel the same way, we think there's plenty that could have gone better. Am I going to dissect and dissolve the administration in its current form, or the prospective administration as a result of how I felt something in the past went?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the thing is, during a campaign, they have to present the picture that everything is rosy, and people do see through that. So, yeah, being a bit more honest, it couldn't hurt at this point. The thing is, Hillary Clinton is making some big mistakes. I mean, you know, I agree with the deplorable remark. I don't think she went far enough. But I can see how something like that can wind up hurting, because you're not criticizing the candidate, you're criticizing the voters, and you're not supposed to do that, even if they are idiots.
It's tough to go back and forth between a micro, sort of analytic, very focused, specific issue-based perspective, and, you know, maybe filtering with what kind of audience you have and the greater context, but when you pull back and you're talking about things in a much broader macro sense, and in this specific case, bringing people in, which is what a campaign is about,
yeah,
you want that kind of like a little bit more glowy or glossy attitude, but it's on both sides anyway. But you need that because you got to increase your numbers right now. As everybody knows, they're split half and half pretty much.
Yeah, which is so insane. I'm going to be so disappointed if it's not 2-1 against Trump, and it looks like it might not even be victorious against Trump at this stage.
You're hearing dead heat.
And that could just be a media trick to get more ratings or right, to make the race more exciting. I don't know.
That is where we're hearing and getting information from, so we got to understand that.
I think she's making huge mistakes in focusing so much on Trump. and not so much on herself. Because the people that are going to vote for Trump are going to vote for Trump, all right? She's not going to win them over. The people she needs to win over are the ones who aren't going to vote for Trump, but at this point aren't going to vote for her either. They need to be won over to her side by realizing that I'm going to do some good things. I'm a good person, et cetera, et cetera. And even if you don't win them over with your personality, at least win them over with your policy, with the doors that you'll be opening, and get them to realize that voting for you is the best option in this case, without so much fixating on what Donald Trump is saying and doing, because that's what he wants. That's what he thrives off of. And by continuously focusing on what he says, he's driving the dialogue. He's setting the rules. And everybody has been falling for that. Everybody from all the other Republican candidates to the mass media to the Democratic Party to now the voters, we're all paying attention to this guy and taking him seriously and echoing everything he says, and he loves every minute of it. And that's what you do when you're a showman, when you're, you know, a carnival barker or whatever. But when you're president of the United States, none of that is going to work anymore. None of it is going to serve him or us. And, you know, I try to imagine what would it be like? What would happen? You know, he'd make that first address to Congress, and it would be full of all kinds of nonsense and lies and things like that. But policy-wise, be all over the place. You'd have to have some other people stepping in to clean up the mess, obviously. Some people knew what they were doing.
Absolutely. You would need pitchforks and dump trucks just to scoop the paperwork out of mm-hmm. Congress. All the crap
yeah.
that they're going to try to throw at our democracy.
Yeah. Yeah.
All the changes. Think about it. They're going to need actual pitchforks and dump trucks to move the cannon of balderdash that will swell like a tsunami on the steps of our representative government.
Wow. Well, that's an image to behold. The thing is, and I've said this before, it's not just one person. He's going to bring in all kinds of other people, people who do know what they're doing, who are just as scary. Imagine that. Imagine people who are able to set the clock back and, quote-unquote, make America great again. Great for certain people, horrible for other people. It's really, it really will be a nightmare, or a true nightmare. And I've lived through George W. Bush. That was unpleasant, but nothing compared to this. Nothing at all. I take it you want to go to delay and maybe take some phone calls?
Well, only if you're ready to go into delay.
Sure, why not? 61.
Hey, this is Ellie from DeLuca, and you're listening to WUSB 90.1 FM, Radio Free Long Island. Yes.
We are...
You didn't put the channel up, Kyle.
What channel?
Channel 9, where the delay was coming from. We just had dead air for the last minute.
Oh, my gosh. You know why? You know why? Because it's not in the... You know, this one's ready. The right
yeah,
one is ready.
But you know it's not working this week, so...
Okay, that
but
was...
But repeat everything you just said. First of all, you were angry that you didn't bring up your own levels before, but it didn't matter because you didn't bring up the master levels, so none of that went over the
air. Okay, so everyone that turned their radios off and walked away because they thought something was broken, we'll see you next time. If you're still listening, 631-632-6901.
What,
if
this is something... No, this is a teaching moment, Kyle. Do you know what you need to do every time you do this? What you're not doing right now. You need to move your eyes... And look at those things right there, those levels. That tells you. That's what told me. When they were not moving at all, that told me, hey, there's silence going out over the air. That's not good. Well, for some people, maybe it is. But not for us. But, you know, I still have yet to give out the phone number. The phone's ringing, though. 631-632-6901. That's our phone number. Let's take a phone call.
Hello, you're on Off the Wall.
Hey, how you doing? Sorry you guys are having difficulties there. I want to say that it's probably no good news either. That while Bill McNulty had his show on the other day, there was dead air for at least 45 minutes, and I don't really think that anybody knew it.
45 minutes?
I'm not fooling. I was able to drive from Setauket to Center Reach.
Wow. You know, we only,
nothing.
We
actually,
only
I
dream
take
that of
back.
That.
It wasn't dead air. It was music, but it was coming from some other place.
Okay,
Bill
okay.
McNulty has his
right.
show. What yeah. came in place of that was like opera music, and I was trying to hear it. I don't think it was the same DJ.
Oh, now you have dead air. Oh, how does it feel now? How about that? He got cut off. And we didn't do it. He cut off. Dead air. Let's
Yay,
do that.
Yay, dead air. Okay, so if you'd like to...
No, Kyle, what he's trying to say is that this happens all the time. In fact, we were noticing the mass media, how they're getting everything wrong. They're mispronouncing words. They have technical glitches of all sorts. Nothing to feel bad about. This is, you know, part of... I just hit my mic with my face.
Okay, so yeah, the board can trick you sometimes here. And when you think you have it all set up, it doesn't go the way you planned.
Oh, the cough button doesn't work.
Hello, you're on Off the Wall.
Oh, it makes you cough.
Yes, hi. This is Kyle. I was just told
Whoa.
By a friend of mine that a comment was made on either this program or the program before that about Jill Stein being an idiot.
Oh, that was me. Yeah, I said that.
We were gobsmacked. Go ahead, Defender, please.
Yeah. Do you know that Leslie Stahl earlier this year said that Hillary Clinton is the greatest warmonger of all candidates running? Are you aware of that?
Well, Leslie Stahl, she must have had a bad day. Wow. What was the context of that, though?
The context was a discussion of the candidates who were running, and it was she said it on the
all
Bill
right.
Maher show, and that's basically it.
But the thing is, you can't really say if Donald Trump is a warmonger or not, because he's never been in a position where he could have the power to do that. But based on his personality, I think he sure could in a moment.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to stick to just those terms, then let's, you know, sit down and weigh who would be a better warmonger.
Yes.
And then, you know, make your choice. But, you know, I don't know that you'd be happy.
I'll tell you what. Here, let me give you an analogy. I used to work in alarm system, and there is, short of a fire itself with fire alarms, there is something worse than a smoke detector that doesn't work. What would that be?
A fire?
Well, short of a fire.
Oh.
There's something worse than a smoke detector that doesn't work.
That works and doesn't alert you. I don't know. Tell us.
Smoke detector that you think works, but doesn't.
Right. Got it. Okay.
Okay.
So,
all right.
So here's the analogy is that we have, in Donald Trump, a smoke detector that doesn't work. We know it doesn't work. We know he's off the wall and a loose cannon. We have Hillary Clinton, who is the smoke detector that we think works, but doesn't, because she's in disguise.
How about this? We have a smoke detector that knows how to smoke detect, and we have one that doesn't know anything about it. Which one do you feel more safe about in your house? Because I don't know. Donald Trump does not have the qualifications.
That knows how to smoke detect isn't working, but we think it works, and it doesn't.
Maybe it has a different interpretation of fire. How about that?
Honestly, I think Hillary's a sprinkler system.
Well... There's all kinds of ways you can go on that.
You know, her history is of warmongering. She refers to her, you know, the action in Libya as we came, we saw, we killed. This is somebody who is going to rely on war to solve problems. She is the problem. Hillary Clinton is the agent of all the enemies of democracy.
Well, you know, I could even accept that, but
wouldn't be.
But I cannot accept that Donald Trump isn't worse than that, and that's the issue.
Yeah, and what you're talking about, I mean, obviously, someone like a Jill Stein would be great, but when you get down to, I guess, brass tacks, when you're actually looking at the bottom line, you have this binary. And that's, like, I guess, our dilemma in covering it. But anyway, thanks for your thoughts. We'd like to move on to another call.
That's great. Please don't call Jill Stein or anyone else an idiot.
Okay. Well, thank you for giving us a little bit of context.
Okay. I'll say she's remarkably misinformed. How about that?
Okay. Right. Be respectful.
All right. Mrs. Idiot. No, I'm sorry. I don't mean that. No.
I can't.
She's a nice lady. I'm sure she's a very nice lady.
This is Off the Wall. I can't promise that. Hello, you're listening to Off the Wall. What's on your mind?
Hi, this is Ruben. I might have sent you an email regarding similar subjects, but I'd just like to back up the guy who was talking before with the anti-Hillary.
Okay.
Hillary bad. Hillary bad. And the other thing you guys aren't focusing on, which I think is worth mentioning, is Trump is not interested in any way, shape, or form in actually ruling or being a president. This is the guy who went to that other Republican and said, hey, why don't you be my VP and run the country for me while I sit back and count my money?
Right. Very true.
And I also wanted to bring up in relation to this, I don't know if you guys heard the or watched the video Anonymous posted like a week ago talking about how Hillary is the one who's bad, and how the American dollar is tied to the oil trade in Saudi Arabia and this whole well-orchestrated system that Hillary is a part of.
Right.
Hillary is a cog in that machine.
Well, we're all kind of a cog in that machine, frankly.
Yeah, I think Trump will be a bigger cog in that machine, if not the machine himself.
Yeah, I know. I appreciate this, and your points are absolutely taken. And that's what we're about here. We want to provoke some conversation.
Okay. Can I also say the other thing that Jill Stein said? She called Bernie Sanders a D.C. insider. So, okay, even if you don't agree with the first thing that I called her an idiot for, that is something I think we can all agree on. That's idiotic. Bernie Sanders, a D.C. insider of all people, that's the guy I really wanted to win.
Yeah, and the Green Party, they're terrible dancers, too. So there's that.
You know, Bernie is good. Bernie is better. But at the same time, Bernie was not very much a pacifist. He said it himself. And
right.
He was very much in support of drones and bombing people. And I don't see how you can just
jump
the lies. It's like, we know the numbers. We know the numbers of people that were messing up all around the world constantly.
You're conflating, though. I think that is the state of the art, okay? That's what the military-industrial complex is doing. Shifting that in America, that's a distinct thing, an ideology and something entirely massive and important. But I think any one candidate taking entire responsibility for our overall national security is, I don't know, it can get murky because it doesn't, I mean, that war making seems to transcend whose administration is there.
Yeah, you know, President Ralph Nader would probably also be sending drones over. It's just, it's a nature of the beast, unfortunately.
Or have to arrest somebody somewhere for something. I mean, they're not going to just all of a sudden...
Listen, I was listening to Democracy Now! I don't know if you had heard it. Ralph Nader was on there just the other day. And
okay.
Specifically talking about how Hillary is systemically a war hawk. She is a predictable, dependable, consistent.
Okay,
war
is
hawk.
Ralph Nader saying she's more dangerous than Donald Trump? Is he saying that?
He didn't put it in those words, but he was saying that she is a systemic hawk and that he is an unpredictable.
Yeah,
hawk.
I don't disagree with that. I don't.
I heard it.
Uh huh.
That she is more of a war hawk than Trump. That is
okay, but you know what? Having somebody who knows what they're doing is probably a lot safer than having somebody who doesn't know what they're doing, despite the fact that they're a hawk. Hey, we're out of time, though. Finn's going to be a hawk when he comes in here. So thanks for your call, though.
Yeah, we really appreciate your thoughts tonight, everyone. And if you'd like to give us another call or write us some other time, otw@2600.com. That's about it for Emmanuel. This is Kyle.
Wait, you didn't leave delay yet. You got to leave delay.
Oh yeah.
Don't forget to leave delay.
Man, I'm crashing. That's
no,
what happens.
You gotta switch the headphones first,
that's
and then we'll just
after.
Wait for us to stop talking. There. See, that wasn't bad.
Yes, that's what happens after the coffee. Thanks, everyone.
Yeah, let's take more phone calls in the future. That was great.
Yeah, thanks for staying informed and challenging us. That's something we always welcome. Good night.
Bye.